Country Club FM.
Back from the Christmas holiday, it's the Bob Almanac, and a chance for you at the end of the hour to win Split Rock Coffee, a 10-ounce bag of the medium roast breakfast blend already ground and ready for you to brew it up. Split Rock Coffee, by the way, is the coffee you can drink all day. Mm-hmm. Owned by a disabled veteran, Split Rock Coffee sources only the finest beans from around the world, and using these beans, Split Rock creates a lower acidity coffee. Perfect balance of flavors. Ask your grocer for Split Rock Coffee. You can go online, splitrockcoffee.com, and order online. We have a Bob Almanac salute.
I'll tell you, you know, I've been asked that question lots of times. You know, why does a knuckleball do what it does and what makes it do? And I have no idea.
It is a type of pitch that comes out of the fingers without any spin to it.
The good knuckleball is the ball that just kind of comes in like this all the way in the batter and just does a few things on the way in.
He may have had the best knuckleball of all the knuckleballers. They called him Nuxy. Mm-hmm. Phil Niekro has passed away at the age of 81. He played for 24 years. He retired when he was 48.
Wow.
He played 20-plus seasons for just the Braves franchise, Milwaukee and Atlanta. And, of course, a brother of Joe Niekro, who had passed away maybe 14, 15 years ago or so and played for the Twins. But Joe Niekro, 318 wins, 335 ERA. And he relied on the knuckleball more than his brother Joe.
Yes, he did.
Joe mixed in a few more fastballs and changeups and curveballs and things. I don't want to say that Phil was 100% knuckleball, but he was as close as you get to it, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He didn't throw much other than that. Yep.
And he mastered it. So Phil Niekro gone, but not forgotten at the age of 81. Mm. Today, Monday, it's the last Monday Almanac of the year, December 28th. We have 3 days left to go. If you're counting down the other way, 363rd day of the year. 1832 on this date, becoming the first vice president to resign, John C. Calhoun did so on this date. Now, this was interesting. Now, Calhoun's the guy. Let me turn down that other mic because I can hear an echo off of the glass here when Sarah was in. So I just turned that down. I was hearing an echo, echo, echo. But it's gone now. Or did you like the echo?
No, I didn't really hear it. But
echo! Echo! See, here now. Echo!
I can hear it now.
Bobby! Cindy!
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I sound like Mr. Brady.
You
there,
do
don't
a little
I?
Bit,
I
yes.
need to work on the hair, though, and I'm not a very good architect. But, he's the one who Lake Calhoun was named after.
Nice.
It's now Bede McCoskey, as you know. But this was back in the day where he was the vice president for Jackson, and he wasn't going to be the vice president for the next term for Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
So when Jackson ran for his second term, he actually had Martin Van Buren as his running mate. So he was a dead duck or a lame duck, if you will, anyway. So he just he resigned on this date. He wasn't getting along with Jackson. They had different thoughts on slavery and some other things and states' rights and other things. You can look into your history books. But John C. Calhoun resigned. Who's the last one to resign, Vice President? Must be Spiro Agnew, right?
I would think.
The last one that I can think of. So, 1832, John C. Calhoun. He resigned. John C. Calhoun. 1846, Iowa became a state. 29th of the Union, the state, 1846.
Well, that much older than we are. 12 years old.
12 years.
Yeah. I'm your school bell, ding, dong, ding. Boys and girls, all hear me ring.
You probably have to be in your 70s to remember this show. It's called the Ding Dong School. Didn't you apply and get rejected from Ding Dong School, Neil? Here they rejected your application.
Yes.
Underqualified.
I don't remember this either.
Although I think we both went to, I think you consider Brown Institute a bit of a ding dong school.
Yeah,
a lot of ding dongs
were there.
I went to class with a lot of ding dongs there. And anyway, it was a television show on NBC. It was a children's show. It was a woman. She was very Mr. Rogers-like. And it aired its final episode on this date, 1956. It was even before you were born, Neil.
Right, right.
On NBC TV. It was called Ding Dong School.
Okay.
Now, if they served ding dongs or ho hos during it, then
very much like
that would have improved it here. And then 2 years later, in 58,
United takes. He gives to Amici, and the ball game is over. Alan Amici has scored the touchdown, and the Baltimore Colts are the professional football champions of the world. That's the end of the game, the final score.
They call it the greatest game ever played, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Yankee Stadium. It was the Baltimore Colts taking on the New York football Giants, and the Colts with Alan Amici running. It looked like it was off tackle. Between tackle and guard, was it in the A gap?
Well, that would maybe be the B gap.
So 23-17 ended up being the final. Sudden death overtime NFL history. First ever sudden death overtime in NFL. That's what made it big, too.
Mm-hmm.
They had 17 future Hall of Famers.
Wow.
In that game in 1958.
They ran the ball a lot off tackle.
1963.
Sing a sad song and sing it for me.
So what you're hearing here is Merle Haggard's first ever appearance on the Billboard Country Charts. This single, released in 1963, appeared on the chart for the first time, made its way all the way up to 19. Not a bad debut.
I would say pretty good.
I mean, not Diamond Rio, Meet Me in the Middle,
right?
You know, going to number one, or Brand New Man.
But still, pretty solid.
So it went to 19. This song was written by Wynn Stewart.
Oh.
Such a pretty world today, Wynn Stewart. 1963. Neil, you might want to close your eyes and your ears for this one.
Oh, I know what it is.
He is going to go. Will Pearson. He got it. Touchdown.
How the heck did Nate Wright just fall down there?
Yeah.
He was known for good footwork.
Right.
As a cover corner.
When he get a two-hand shove.
And the defender was not watching, and Pearson came back to make the catch for it.
It's one of those items on what you would call the Mount Rushmore of Minnesota sports disappointments and heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And, Neil, as you can recall, you watched. I'm too young to remember it, so I'm easily able to turn the page.
Vikings were the best team in football. Well, no doubt that year.
Well, Bud Grant and the guys from that team have said that's their best team.
Yep.
That 75 team was their best team. If they were going to win that championship ever, it would have been that year.
Yes.
They think. Although I think the Steelers were the opponents that year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were good.
Again.
Steelers were good. But starting to age a little bit.
Yeah, so were the Vikings.
Yeah that's true, too.
So Hail Mary, there. First time that Hail Mary had ever been deemed, that first time that phrase had ever been used.
Armand Tirjean took a bottle to the noggin.
Was it a whiskey bottle? Was it a dark bottle or a clear bottle?
Clear bottle.
Was it? He was the man who made the call. He's the back judge? Was he the referee?
He didn't overrule? He was standing in the back of the end zone watching it and couldn't pull the trigger
on
the flag.
Well, the fix was on then. He had money on the Cowboys.
Yeah, probably.
There's no doubt. So that was 1975.
Bitter.
In the news in 81.
It's a girl. With those words, Dr. Howard Jones announced the birth of the first American test tube baby, Elizabeth Jordan Carr. The 5-pound, 12-ounce girl, the daughter of Roger and Judith Carr of Westminster, Massachusetts, is described by pediatrician Fred Worth as a perfectly normal baby.
Therefore, we do not anticipate any special problems. And
it was a modern medicine miracle, Neil. Triple M, we like to call it. 1981.
That is... It is a miracle. Really.
It is. Test tube baby. 81. Big deal. Also 81, Pat Sajak. In the
And now, here's your new host, Pat Sajak.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack Clark. Morning, everyone. Welcome to Wheel of Fortune. Please do not adjust your sets at home. Chuck Woolery has not shrunk. A lot of people are playing with a vertical hold right now. As Jack mentioned, my name is Pat Sajak, and I've been fortunate enough to wander onto the set of a very successful program.
It's really the first time anybody had really even known or met Pat Sajak. It would be a year or two until we would find the lovely Vanna White on his hip and ready to help him through. That's when the show really jumped through hoops and took off, and it just exploded into the stratosphere. It was Pat Sajak taking over for Chuck Woolery, because Chuck Woolery had an idea about this dating show where you have people in the crowd and they select who you should go out on your date with. Ooh. And you tell the story of the date. It was called Love Connection, Neil.
Yeah,
and he had to be back in two and two, so that's why he left.
That's a heck of an idea.
So he left Wheel of Fortune, enter Pat Sajak. The rest is... He's still hosting the show today.
Yeah,
he left there for a little bit, but he has since come back, and he's ruling over the wheel.
He had spent the day with friends on a docked sailboat, went diving several times in the murky water of Marina del Rey. The last time, he failed to come up, and an hour later, the body of Dennis Wilson was brought out of the Pacific Ocean. He celebrated in song.
He was the Beach Boys drummer, one of the Wilson brothers, one of the three, of course, Carl, Brian, and Dennis. And he was just 39 years old. A tragic day here for music and the Beach Boys and the Wilson family, Neil.
I wonder if we know what happened there. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. You'd have to look it up. But he drowned, of course.
Yes.
But were drugs and alcohol, were there substances involved? He had been known to have substance problems. He was I don't want to call him a follower of Manson, but he had ties with Manson. He had gone to parties at the Manson mansion or whatever you want to call where he lived back in the early 70s. That was a long time prior to this, though. But anyway... That was in 1983. We said goodbye to Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys. Now, 1991, Ted Turner was named Time Magazine of the Year, Man of the Year. And he was also my Man of the Year because, according to reports, he was the man in between naps in the 91 World Series Game 6. He called down to the dugout Bobby Cox and told Bobby Cox to bring Charlie Liebrand into the game to face Kirby Puckett.
The aging left-hander.
Right. Came in, gave him a circle change out on a platter. Kirby Puckett, we'll see you tomorrow night. Twins would then win the next day and win the World Series. And according to reports and rumors, it was Ted Turner in between naps.
Thanks, Ted.
And in between, you know, makeout sessions with his wife Jane Fonda there above the Braves dugout at the Metrodome.
Yeah.
That he told him, he called down there. He could have just... probably slipped a note down.
Right.
Because you can easily reach around, down, and then drop a note with a string like they used to do for... remember how they used to do that for autographs of the Metrodome?
Yes.
Because it wasn't a great baseball park. It wasn't like where you just reach over. The dugout was actually below the stand. So you just would put a string on like a baseball card, and then you would drop it down and hope somebody... You'd go fishing. You'd go fishing for Jim Eisenreich or Julio Julio Cruz or Houston Jimenez or whoever you want to put your name. Bombo Rivera. He never played in the Metrodome. I'm just throwing names out there. So that was his day in 1991. And then 4 years ago,
beloved and legendary actress Debbie Reynolds has died at age 84, just one day after the death of her daughter, Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher. Tonight we'll hear from celebrities in mourning as we celebrate.
We don't have time to hear from celebrities, but we kind of get the gist of it. Yes, Debbie Reynolds passed away just a day after Carrie Fisher had passed away.
Yeah, strange.
Tough couple of days entertainment industry. Let's move on to birthdays now. And again, we're giving away Split Rock coffee. So, I never mentioned, but I think people assume if they know what's going on here with the Big Bob Almanac is that we're going to have a quiz.
Yes, so listen
something
intently.
That was mentioned here, so please.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Hey, it's Uhura's birthday today.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
She was the communications officer on the Starship Enterprise on Star Trek. She had that little silver thing in her ear.
Right.
She was monitoring, and I believe she knew Klingon. I believe she, I don't know. There was that one movie where they had to look in a book. But a lot of those communications officers on those starships back in the day for Starfleet, they were able to speak Klingon and Romulan and some of the other. And a lot of times you don't need that because of what, Neil? Universal Translator.
Oh, sure.
So Nichelle Nichols.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
And, of course, her and Kirk kissed. First interracial kiss ever on national TV, Neil.
She was a lovely lady.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
So she's 88.
That was bloody brilliant.
Oh, thank you for that assessment, Mr. Weasley. Perhaps it would be more useful if I were to transfigure Mr. Potter and yourself into a pocket watch. That way one of you might be on time.
We got lost.
Then perhaps a map. I trust you don't need one to find your seats.
She was, do you remember Minerva McGonagall, Professor McGonagall from the Harry Potter movies? Dame Maggie Smith, happy birthday to her. A little bit of comic relief in those Harry Potter movies. She's 86. Instrumental rock from the 70s. One of our strengths here on the Bob Almanac. Edgar Winter, the albino heavy rocker Edgar Winter Group. You may remember their song Free Ride.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be confused with Slow Ride. Edgar Winter is 74. This guy's a pretty good actor.
When I was 15 years old, I lost my mother and my father in the same month, Ronnie. Same month. 12 brothers and sisters, I was the youngest one, but they were all looking up to me. Now, I wasn't ready yet either, but they needed me. Your team needs you tonight. You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Twins right, 48-0 Reed. Let's go.
Twins right, 0-8-4-8 Reed on two.
Yeah.
Break.
Break, let's
go. So he's talking to Sunshine there, and they're going to run a play.
Yes.
And I think it was successful for the Titans, Neil.
We remember the Titans.
We remember the Titans. Denzel Washington in a lot of movies, 66.
A lot of movies.
Mike McGuire, happy birthday to him from Shenandoah. Did we just have Shenandoah, Faye 5?
Yes.
Mike McGuire, who's the drummer, I think.
Yes.
Drummer for Shenandoah, 62. Marty Rowe, we know what he sounds like. He's 60 today. Diamond Rio.
Lead guy.
And also, Lady Gaga, really, I'm on your side. But while it's noble that you went to Maine to try to convince their senators to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you should know it's very hard to be the girl in the meat suit on Sunday and the voice of reason on Tuesday. I mean, really.
Really.
Seth Meyers, Saturday Night Live. He's now the host of that late show, the Late, Late, Late Show there on NBC. He's 47.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
John Legend.
From now on, our troubles will be
sounding a little bit like Nat King Cole.
Nice job.
John Legend, good
He's
singer.
He's good. Good singer.
42.
Sure.
Have yourself a merry.
He's married to Chrissy Teigen. Now, she's a little nutty. Chrissy Teigen, a little nutty, but that's all right. John Legend, 42.
Gone. Is that my cue? Gone, but not, that's kind of early.
Nobody reacts to dead air better than Neil Freeman.
Well, it's
dead
nice
air
to have,
is your cue.
It's nice to have some bit of a, you know, a notice. Businessman John Molson. Now, he gave us the Molson Brewery, one of Canada's finest, still making beer to this day, 1763. Our former president of the day is W.W. Woodrow Wilson, and he served during World War One, brought us into that conflict. He was born on this day. The year was 1856. His real name, Cliff Arquette, we knew him as Charlie Weaver from Hollywood Squares.
We have to go with Charlie Weaver to block.
Charlie to block could be the secret square, is not. Yes, it's you. What are you doing down there, Plank?
I have a pot roast under here.
Oh, I see.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I know.
That's like late 60s Hollywood Squares. That's when Buddy Hackett was the center square.
Oh, okay. Well, Charlie Weaver was usually in the lower left.
That's where he was.
That's where he is. And that's,
as an older gent, that's the out of all the squares, that's the one that required the least walking and climbing.
Right, to get to.
Right.
Charlie Weaver, a.k.a. Cliff Arquette, born on this day, 1905. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Johnny Otis, may remember that name. He was born on this day, 1921. Stan Lee gave us many, many wonderful superheroes and cartoon characters.
This was aged for 1,000 years. The barrels built from the wreck of Brunhill's fleet is not meant for mortal men.
Neither was Omaha Beach, Blondie. Stop trying to scare us. Come on.
He always makes a cameo in his Marvel movies. Stan Lee, born on this day, 1922. One of the, maybe the top goaltender of all time, Hall of Famer Terry Sawchuk, was born on this day, 1929. And what about Alex Chilton?
They call that 60s blue-eyed soul, Neil.
With the box tops. Good stuff from Alex Chilton, born on this day, 1950, and we lost him to COVID.
Help me, girl.
Joe Diffie.
You've gone too far. It's way too late to save my heart.
What a great, great, great voice.
Way too many country music losses here in 2020.
For sure.
One of many. sadly.
He and I born in the very same year in 1958. He's,
you never wore a mullet like he wore, though.
No, I couldn't.
But never pulled it off.
No, I would not have been able to. But the great Joe Diffie will work a song of his, I'm sure, into the long stretch of tunes here coming up.
So
1958, and they're gone, but not forgotten.
Would you have struggled with the party in the back or business in the front part?
You lost me there.
That's what a mullet is.
Oh, okay.
Party in the back, business in the front?
Yeah, the business in the front, more than likely. Yeah.
All right, let's get in with the quiz now. We have a bag, not just any bag, a 10-ounce bag of premium blend, breakfast blend. It's premium, it's tasty, it's delicious, it's a medium roast. It's 10 ounces. Speaking of pot roast, Charlie Weaver, we got medium roast coffee here for you. The question is, today was the date, 1981, that Pat Sajak took over on the game show called Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, I remember it.
And who did he take over from? Who was the host just before Pat Sajak? Well-known man.
You mentioned him,
I mentioned his name.
Yep.
Who preceded Pat Sajak as the host of Wheel of Fortune? 763-450-0100. First one that calls in is going to win some of this coffee. Split Rock Coffee, the coffee you can drink all day, smooth and yummy, and it's not sour on your tummy.
We need you to pick it up here, too.
763-450-0100. 763-450-0100. How would you like to start a Bobathon with Sammy Kershaw, Cadillac style? Mm-hmm. It's also how we start the No Repeat Workday. Colin Ray, I Can Still Feel You. Or would you like to go with Marty Rowe and Diamond Rio with Imagine That, seeing that it's Marty Rowe's birthday today, big 6-0.
I think we should probably do that.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KBGY Faribault, KLCI Elk River, KLCI.